Blog Talk Radio. Yahushua sure, HaMashiach. Father, we come before you in the name of your Son, our Savior and our Redeemer. And we beseech you, Abba, to please give ear to our prayer. Abba, we are thankful, we're grateful for the blessing that you have bestowed upon us, allowing us to come together once again to fellowship, albeit not in person. Fellowship on your holy Sabbath day. Abba, this Sabbath day is a very somber one, as you are well aware. We were informed that one of our young brothers has been taken away from us. Abba, we ask that you please comfort and strengthen his father, his mother, his siblings, aunts, uncles, his relatives. Abba, we pray that you comfort and strengthen Sister Danielle, Sister Dael, the Clapperton family, the whole family of Beth Yahweh Camp, who have grown to love and appreciate and accept the young brother as being one of our own. There's a saying in the world today, how you work in mysterious ways, and although it sounds somewhat cliche, there is some truth in that. In the heart of these types of tragedy, it's very difficult for us, Abba, to maintain our focus on you, which, again, you are well aware of, as you have observed humanity for thousands of years. And I'm certain that you have seen thousands upon thousands of people in similar situations who had a relationship with you, but due to these strenuous circumstances are easily turned away. Abba, we ask you for strength above all things, because sometimes in life, especially during these difficulties, it is hard for us, being the carnal-minded people that we are, to maintain our focus on you. And you know how me and you go, Abba. Abba, please help us, each and every one of us, this and with that, striving to be all that you desire us to be. And we fall short many times. But isn't that why you sent your Son? Isn't that the whole purpose of why your word became flesh? To experience exactly what it is that we go through in this physical existence, Abba. Your word knows from firsthand experience what it means to be a human being, to be a son of Adam. And he found a way. Abba, we ask that you help us, each and every one of us, to follow after his example, that we too may find a way, pain, that the devil uses to turn us away from you. And he uses it to the best of the ability that he has been granted. But we have been taught in your word, Abba, it is not by power nor by might, but by your spirit. We are weaklings in this battle without you, without your word. And the only way we find success is through you and by your spirit. So we ask you, we beseech you, we bow the knees of our heart to you, Abba. We ask for strength. Strength that we may all endure the trials, the tribulations that life throws our way. And this is only one of many, Abba. Right now, this is the most immediate, but there are surely more to come. And with each tragedy that we have to face, Abba, it's as if it's weakening us. It is weakening our flesh. So we need your spirit to strengthen us, that we may see this through. I will ask you to forgive each and every one of us for the sin we commit against you daily, whether we know, whether we don't know. But we ask for your mercy, your grace, and your compassion to be extended to us. Forgive us, Abba, for the times that we doubt you in light of circumstances such as this, for the times that we turn our backs to you because we don't get what we want, the times that we may even curse you, Abba, when things don't go our way. Please forgive us because we don't know how we sin. Because of the emotional distress that we're oftentimes overwhelmed with during circumstances such as these. And I ask this prayer on behalf of who are suffering at this time, those near, those afar. And I ask for strength by your spirit, that we all become what you desire us to be, which is one with you and your word. For those who are suffering physically from various ailments, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually, because according to your word, we can do all things in Yahushua HaMashiach, who strengthens us, through whom we pray. Hallelujah. Nation. Yahushua HaMashiach. Blessed are you, Yahweh, our mighty one, King of the universe, who has chosen good prophets and was pleased with their words that were uttered with truth. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who chooses Hadura, Moshe, his servant, Yisrael, his nation, and the prophets of truth and righteousness. Amen. Shabbat shalom, l'shana tuva, mishpacha. All praise, all glory, all honor, all exaltation, all adoration be to Abba for the blessings that he bestowed upon us each and every day. Condolences to my friend Jeffrey Brooks and his family. Condolences to Sister Danielle. We're praying for you, sis. Stand strong. Stand firm. And I know that's not what you want to hear. But I won't assume it's not what you want to hear. But being in that circumstances myself, I know that's the last thing I wanted to hear. So we're pulling for you, Sister Dial, the same, the Clapperton family in general. And I've had an opportunity to talk to a couple people who have met the young brother. You know, and as I mentioned, his father is a good friend of mine. You know, we go back as far as Montebello Elementary School. I lived in a 1700 block. He lived in an 1800 block of 30th Street. So we've known each other the large portion of our lives. You know, matter of fact, I was just thinking the other day how, you know, how close we were. You know, and there was a time when my wife, You know, at the time she wasn't my wife. We were still children, of course, but I don't know if it was her church or it was some other group that she belonged to. Maybe like, because she used to be like a majorette or something. It could have been that. But they were having some type of function anyway. So I'm not certain whether or not my sister went, but I know Jeffy was there. It was me, Jeffy, and my aunt Karen. She had took us there. And I was thinking about that the other day. No, that's how close we were. No, because he knew my wife. Matter of fact, and for some of you who may not know, Jeffrey was in our wedding. He was one of the ushers in the wedding. You know, so we were really close. You know, and we, of course, because of my lifestyle change, we began to grow apart because I went one direction and he went another direction. And another funny story. When I had met my wife again, you know, after we were 18 years old, she had already accepted the Messiah and accepted this way of life, but I hadn't, you know. And she introduced it to me, of course, but, you know, I was still out in the world, so to speak. But I did have a desire to want to get my life right. So one Sunday, me, Jeffrey, and another friend of his, we decided to go to church, and they had what was called an altar call because they do that type of thing there. Lo and behold, we went up for the altar call, and we got baptized that day, me, Jeffrey, and the other friend of his. You know, I'm sorry, I can't remember her name, but it was three of us. Got baptized, and when I tell you, I told my wife about that. And my brother Baruch would say she was 38 hot with me, because she had just told me all these other things. But anyway, point being, that's how close Jeffrey and I were. So I, you know, shot him a text and sent my condolences to him as well, because I am well acquainted with what he's going through, as you all are aware. You know, so initially I was going to cancel today, after I found out and, you know, talked to Murray Ahabao. But yeah, this is fresh. We all finding this out this morning, and, you know, heart to heavy. And it's a tough time. Cancel it. Alba gave me a word, you know. And I wanted to know for certain whether or not this was the case. And I asked him, I said, if you want me to go forth, let me know. So then I received the text. It seemed that it was immediately after Holy Sabbath service. So that was my witness. And we're talking. But the word that Abba gave me was be encouraged. And of course, you all would not think this, but in my mind, I'm thinking, are you sure you want me to be the one to bring forth this message? Now, I'm saying this because I haven't really seen many of you in quite some time. You know, I've separated myself purposefully, you know. I talk to those that I need to talk to for the purpose of my task, but other than that, I've removed myself. And I've removed myself not because of there's something special about me, you know. It's because I have been struggling, and I've been going back and forth with Abba. And I tell you, I understand what people are going through. And I'm not just saying this just to say it. I understand the difficulties that people go through, juggling, being in this world, and also walking in the ways of the Most High. It's not easy. I'm not going to sit up here, and I'm not going to try to sugarcoat anything for anybody to make it seem as though it's easy, because it is not. This is a difficult road that we walk. Very difficult, and it's going to be filled with much more difficulty to come. You know, I had a talk with a couple brothers a few weeks ago now. You know, and there's some things that's been going on with me outside of dealing with the death of my wife and the death of my son. Because guess what? Life continues. Life doesn't stop after that. And lo and behold, and I like the way the brother just put it clear, cut, and dry this Sabbath evening. The devil, he ain't going to let up. You know, it's like you are engaged in his battle. And your opponent sees that you're starting to limp on that right leg a little bit. You think he's going to let up? Mm-mm. He focusing on that right leg right now. Any way that he can attack it, he's going to attack. So when we are being bombarded by life circumstances, and that's the attack. Life circumstances. That's what it is. That'll do it. When we are bombarded by life circumstances, guess what? Sometimes it becomes very overwhelming. Somebody sent me a reminder, squat! But even when you're squatting, you know, and being in the gym and seeing people exercise, train, or whatever they prefer to call it, sometimes you see people take that weight down and they can't get it back up. So somebody has to go over and give them an assist. You see, that's life. When you're serving the Most High, and I know for myself, speaking for myself, and I just want to turkey back on something that Murray Arial mentioned in his teaching Sabbath evening about the Murray or about the teachers, and how one of the things that you notice is that everybody has to talk about their life experience. Guess what? What else are we going to talk about? Because it's through our life experience that Abba is helping bring us to an understanding of what he means, what he say. As a teacher, the responsibility is to make the word of Yah alive for everybody. Take it off those pages. Take it from the context of the old English and bring it to modern day. But in order for that to happen, we first have to understand what Abba's saying. So that means he got to teach it to us. And once we understand what Abba's saying, and once he's taught us, now we can look at our lives and we can say, oh, well, this thing that's happening over here or that thing that's happening over there, that sounds similar to what's going on right here. So let's use that so that we can bring people up to date, because Abba's word is far from being antiquated, as some people would have you to believe. Talk about recent releases. You're talking about a book, a work, that talks about events that have yet to occur. How can it be antiquated? One of the Murray brought forth some time ago, and we all call this back to mind. We are still living in biblical times. People look at the Bible like it's something that happened years ago. No, the word of Yah is happening right now. It's happening. It didn't happen. It is happening. It's not something past tense. We learned that too. When Abba spoke, he speaks in all three dimensions, past, present, and future. There's no other work that does that besides the word of Abba. No other word that does that. So it covers everything that we can ever experience, even the loss of a loved one. He covers that. You know, the song, Be Grateful, one of my favorite verses is the part where it says, he can't allow us to experience only good. In my mind, when I was young, when I was naive, coming into this way of life, I'm thinking, when I get into a relationship with the Most High, guess what? All my problems and all my worries are going to be gone. And you know, you hear a lot of people saying that. But what they fail to mention is how you get to that point. you know? So for these past few weeks, I've been I've been using extensively the YouVersion app, different Bible plans and things like that. It's very helpful. All you got to do, you type in a topic, and they got it. Depression, anger, disappointment. You type it in, and they got a plan in there for you. So I've been listening to this one after that one after that one after this one, just being inundated by his word because I go through everything. And you talk about complaining, I had to laugh at myself one day. I complain to Abba all the time. And then I had to stop myself one day. And I was like, you sound just like a nagging wife. Because all I do is complain. Being unhappy about this, unhappy about that, dissatisfied about this, dissatisfied about that. And I know y'all probably say, why are you always getting on here talking about what's going on with you? Because Abba taught me something. Abba said, albeit by one of the apps I was listening to, one of the plans I was listening to, called a disappointment muscle. And I like the way some of these teachers are wording and bringing forth what they're bringing forth because they're bringing it up and they're bringing the word to reality. Abba initially, right, when he was creating, he was pulling from all these different sources. He created this, and he created that, and he created that, and he created this. But when it came to us, you know what he pulled from? He said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. So when he says that, do you understand that when humanity was created, it was with the intent and purpose of us being just like him? But what we fail to realize is this. The steps it will take for us to be just like him. One day, earlier this week, people asking me for this, asking me for that, asking me for that, asking me for this. And in my mind, I'm thinking, everybody always asking me for something. Nobody ever doing anything. And immediately, when I had that thought, this is the image that Abba gave me. And I shared with you all before how my mind works sometimes. It's all animated. It's like, oh, am I even coming through? I'm getting some text, and I'm talking. I'm like, okay. I didn't even ask anybody to send me a text and let me know if I'm coming through. Okay. All right. Got the thumbs up. All right. Hallelujah. All right. Told Abba. Let me get back on to my thought. So right after I thought that, Abba gave me this image. And this is the image he gave me of just picture, you know, an old man, however you treat the old man to look. And, you know, he's wearing his glasses. And it can even be the one kind with the strap. You know how the old people, they wear the glasses with the straps on because they can let them hang by their neck. And as soon as I thought that, it's like Abba pulled them glasses down, looked over top of them glasses at me, and just the look alone let me know. Did you just say people always asking you for stuff all the time? And at that moment, it's like, how do you think I feel? What do you think I go through? Because we always asking Abba. We may think we're not asking Abba for something, but we always asking Abba for something. You see? So like I said, the theme is to be encouraged, family. It's not what you want to hear because it's not what I wanted to hear. You see? Again, I was sharing with the brothers a couple weeks ago. There's some things that took place in my life that the majority of the congregation don't know about. So I'm going to share this one thing with you. In my mind, right, and somebody was asking about, you know, getting a place, getting a building, this, that, and the third, right? Okay. Well, in my mind, this is what I wanted to do. I want to start getting into some investing because I want to be able to make some money because I want to be able to contribute a nice little piece so that we can get a nice place and have service and worship, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, okay? So now, I'm not going to do this or that until I know for sure it's a good thing. Well, guess what? It wasn't a good thing. And I ended up losing a whole bunch of money as a result of it, right? So in my mind, the way I saw that, okay, and I'm speaking right now in the context of loss, all right? Some people, when you think about it, what does this have to do with anything? Well, we just lost a young brother, another young brother, another one. So I understand what it means to lose. Not just because I lost my wife, not just because I lost my son. Like I say, I complain all the time. Y'all just don't know. I complain. How come out of everybody in the congregation, I'm the only one that had to lose my job? And I'm going back and forth. Why I had to lose my job? See, and what people thinking about, it's not even just about the money. You know what else I lost? I lost insurance. So one day, let me get back to that other piece too about the investor. But one day, I get a text, not a call, because I eventually had to get some type of insurance. I eventually got some type of insurance. I want to go to the doctor. I want to see what's going on with me because for a period of time, y'all didn't know, my blood pressure was high. And I'm trying to take all these vitamins and do all this type of stuff, and it was still high. So I went to the ER. Because my blood pressure was so high. Anyway, I got put back on the medications, which I was trying to avoid, but I didn't want to have a heart attack or a stroke, so I went back on the medication. But that didn't work out, me trying to go the natural way. Not saying I did everything perfectly, but just these are some of the things that I've been going through, okay? Fine, I'll get back on the medication. Now I got this other type of insurance. Now I got to find me an appointment. Scheduled an appointment all the way to March 31st, right? Got a text earlier this week, it's canceled. I've been waiting, I've been looking forward to going to this appointment now, it's canceled. The next appointment availability is not till August. I need medication. I need to get refilled. Don't you know when I got that text, I broke down crying and fussing and complaining to Oz about it. Appointment had to get canceled. You understand where I'm coming from? So, I make this investment. The person I was dealing with in regard to the investment, they would send me these different things and show me that this person here and that person there, they made their investment, and they got this and they got that. And then in my mind, how come I didn't get that in my investment? It's like whatever it is that I'm trying to do, nothing is working out the way I want it to work out. So what I do, I complain. All the time. Let me open up and share a little bit of my life. You know what I do every day? Number one, I am alone 99.9 or 99.5% of the day. Every single day. I live with somebody that I hardly ever see. The only person that I interact with mostly is my little boo-da-woo when I pick her up from school. You know, she brings joy to me. But other than that, when I'm working, what I mean by working, either I'm talking to somebody or I'm actually engaged in study, preparations, working on this, working on that, et cetera. And my mind is engaged and I'm caught up and I'm into the Most High, I'm into His Word, and I'm just fine. But then at some point, you stop the studying, you stop the preparation, and as soon as that stops, you know what I do? The rest of my day commiserate on how I don't like my circumstances, how much I hate my life. That's what I do. Until I may get a text from somebody or get a call from somebody, and I'm not saying nobody got to keep calling me. I ain't asking for that. Part of me, because of what I got to go through, let Abba do whatever he's going to do. That's what I say. I ain't saying this because I want everybody to keep calling me and checking on me. I'm not asking for that. Abba got to do what he got to do with me. I got to go through what I got to go through. I understand that. I don't like it, but I understand it. You know? Not what I wanted, but sometimes, and this is the point of it, we ain't going to get what we want, and that hurts. Oh, that hurts so bad. You know, so I was sharing with the brothers about the investment thing, and, you know, the thought that crossed my mind is this. I was said, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. And I just shared this with a couple of brothers a few weeks ago. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. And the first thing come to my mind, and I know this is wrongful thinking, so I'm not encouraging anybody to look at the word this way, but I'm sharing what it is that I went through. Well, guess what? That money I lost making this bad investment went into somebody's pocket. So guess what? They prospered, and I was hurt in the process. Why? You know, that's the question we all, why me? You know? Why I got to go through this? And I asked that question years ago, and I got my answer. So I already know the answer to the question. You know, when it was brought to my attention that my son was going to die. Yeah, it was brought to my attention that my son was going to die. And you know, that happened years ago. And I talked to my son, and I told him not to follow behind his brother, because it's not going to end the same for him as it is for his brother. And I told him clear, cut and dry, you're going to die out there. You don't know after the fact. I wish I never said that, because sometimes I beat myself up and I think that I called this into reality because I said it. So what that taught me to do, I don't know if it be for the good or for the bad, but I don't say everything. I don't want to put certain things out there anymore, because I feel kind of sort of responsible. Not that I have the power of life or death or anything like that, but I kind of think of it and say, maybe if I didn't say that, but anyway, not to get too far into that, point being is this. It was brought to my attention that my son was going to die, and I asked the question, why my son have to die? And you know what the response was? Why not your son? Somebody else's son, somebody else's daughter, somebody else's child, somebody else's this, somebody else's that can die, but not yours? What can I say to that? What can I say when I'm directed to look at the life of Job, who suffered great loss? What can I say to that? What can I say when I look at the life of Naomi, who suffered great loss, but she didn't waver in her faith in the Most High? You see how Abba's word has something for everybody. But I can still attest that even when you're in the midst of it, care about what Job went through. You don't care about what Naomi went through. I had a conversation with my son recently. One of the things that I hate to be done with me, if I'm talking to somebody about this or about that and what I'm going through, and they tell me, well, you know what? At least somebody out there is doing worse than you. That don't help me. You think because I know somebody else may not have this or may not have that, it's going to make me say, you know what, well, my circumstances ain't that bad. No, I still feel the same way about my circumstances. It didn't change me. It should. So Abba had me to do something because I complain so much. And I'm not laughing to make light of anything that's going on. I'm just laughing at myself sometimes because of stuff that I go through in my mind. So I ask, I'm complaining. So it's like Albert, he says to me, and I'm not going to say that, but he's like, N-word, is there anything going on in your life that can make you happy? But like I said, that's how my mind works sometimes. So what Abba had me to do, I had to write down and look at my life and write down things that I'm grateful for, you know. And that's supposed to be like a meditation for me. Brother's been talking about meditating recently. So what is it that you're grateful for in your life? Well, of course, first and foremost, I'm grateful to at least have a relationship with the Most High going for me right now. You know, people hearing that, they say, man, if you got a relationship with the Most High, what you worried about anything else for? Because everything else ain't right. At least in my opinion, you see, because it's not what I want. You understand? It's not what I want. You know? I recently was working on something. And I was at work when I was working. I'll get back to my list of grateful things in a minute. When I was working, you know, people there, children there, and I had this one particular thing stood out. Mother, she's a nurse. She has several children. One child is going to be a pharmacist. One child is going to be a doctor. Several other children are going to be nurses. And, you know, I think that was somebody else that did something outside of the medical field. But when I heard that, you would think, hey, that's a blessing. But you know what? I thought, well, my children couldn't have been successful like that. That's what my mind do. And I do one of the worst things that people say you're not supposed to do, compare myself with everybody else. You're not supposed to do that. So I'm learning now to accept my lot. It ain't for everybody. You know, and we say that, you know, when it comes to somebody walking in this way of life, it ain't for everybody, it ain't for everybody. But guess what? Certain things that the world has to offer, guess what? It ain't for everybody. And I'm not even trying to be, you know, successful to the degree where I'm a multi-million. I'm not even pressed with that. You know, I was sharing with the brothers, recently. If I can be a consistent hundredaire, I'm all right. As long as I got enough for my needs. And I got to give praise and honor to Allah for that. You know, because he had to slap me up beside my head and say, what you complaining about for? Aren't your needs being met? So I go back to my list. I say, you know, you're right. I'm thankful. I'm grateful that I have a relationship with you. I'm grateful that you provide me with a house, a place to live. I'm grateful that you provide me with transportation to get back and forth wherever I need to go. I'm grateful that you provide me with sustenance, be it food or clothing. I don't want for anything. So people hear that and say, well, if you're grateful for all these things, what you complaining for? Because everything in my life didn't pan out the way that I would have liked it to go. And when I look at other people's lives, and I see how their lives go, I say, well, how come my life couldn't be that way? When I see old couples, how come I couldn't have, you know, me? How come me and my wife couldn't grow old and silver-haired together? When I see, you know, family, be it sons with their wives or daughters with their husbands, bringing the children together over to the grandparents' house and having a nice family function. How come my family couldn't be that way? Why did my son have to get locked up? Why did my son have to die? Why did my wife have to die? Why do I have to go through that? Why do I have to suffer? That's my life. Every day I commiserate about the exact same thing. And at some point, you know what I got to do? I would say, stop thinking about it. You can't change it. It's done. It's in the record books. It's in the history books. It's the past. As long as you keep focusing on these things that you have no control of, you're going to stay in miserable, in misery. You're going to stay miserable. He's not telling me these things because he doesn't want me to feel sadness about it. But at some point, you got to let things go. And for those who suffer right now for the loss of a young brother, I'm not saying forget about that. Experience every emotion that comes your way, because I have to learn that too. You don't have to try to be strong for anybody. If you want to cry, cry. And I tell you, crying, many nights I didn't cry myself to sleep. many nights. You know, and being a man, you know, you shouldn't want to be telling everybody you shouldn't be crying yourself to sleep. Well, guess what? I cried myself. If I was to put a number on it, I'd say 7 days in a week, 5 times out of 7 nights a week, I cried myself to sleep. I do. Because of how much I commiserate. But you know what Abba says? Be encouraged. Be encouraged. So I'm listening to this plan, and it's about disappointment. And I've listened to a whole bunch of them, like I said, about several different things. But this one was by far the best one. It hit the nail on the head, and I listened to it twice, and I'm going to listen to it again. It's about being disappointed. And see, what it is that we're disappointed about is we get disappointed because things didn't meet our expectations. And we have expectations. So this is what I did. Let me share a little bit of my carnal mind. So in my mind, okay, so I expect this to happen, and it didn't happen. I expect that to happen, and it didn't happen. Well, guess what? You know what? I'm not expecting anything. I don't want nothing from nobody. All I'm going to do, you want me to be a teacher? I'll teach. If I need to be a counselor, I'll counsel. And I'm not going to deal with anybody else. I don't want to do nothing else. You want me to be by myself? I'll be by myself. I'll cut everybody else, and I'll just function in the role that you put me in. That's all I'm going to do. That's my mind. Since you want me to be by myself, I'll be by myself. I ain't dealing with nobody. I'm ready to put my son out the house and everything. But nobody, I want to be by myself. You want me by myself? I'm going to be by myself. But that's not the right mindset. That's what I go through. And I want me to share that with y'all. Because the life of a teacher, of an overseer, is to be that open book. That's the only way he can bring the words from the page into reality. People look at people in a certain position, and they think that they're supposed to be perfect. Far be it from the truth, I tell you. And the word teaches that. Rabbi taught us years ago the reason why Abba had those prophets record their errors, their mistakes, because he wants us to know, in spite of your frailty, guess what? I can still use you. I can work with that. You know how? He said, all you need is just a little bit of faith. Like the grain of a mustard seed, he said, right? See, all these people, they had frailties. They had faults. Abraham wasn't perfect. In spite of how some people try to make excuses for things that he did and justify it. No, he was a sinner like everybody else was. So was Moshe and any other prophet you name in the Holy Scriptures. They were all imperfect. They were all sinners. The exception being Yahushua HaMashiach. That's it. That's the only exception. Brother Shaul ain't had no problem telling you about his frailty. The things that I wanted to do right, guess what? I didn't always do right. The things I wasn't supposed to do, guess what? Sometimes I did those things. Why do you think they're writing these? Their lives were open books. I don't want us to be misled as if we are perfect. Sure. We're supposed to strive to be perfect. But in the course of us striving to be perfect, guess what? We're going to mess up. And I'm being clean about it. Because if we was out there in the streets of Baltimore City, I would say that another way, using the expletive, just to drive that point home. We mess up sometimes. Real bad. Why he sent his son. He knew he was going to mess up. There's a movie. Can't think of the name of it right now. But Nicolas Cage played in it. And he had the ability to see the future. some of you may have seen the movie, some of you may not have seen the movie, and I'm gonna give you a spoiler alert right now. I can't tell you the name of it, but this is the reason I'm mentioning it. It's like this. At the end of the movie, what we find out is that everything that happened in the movie, he foresaw it. That's what the movie was about, right? Seek to foresee what's going to take place, right? So when we think about prophecy, prophecy is twofold. In one sense, prophecy is Abba letting us know all the things that he's going to do, and then he's fulfilling it by doing exactly what he said he was going to do. But in the other one, prophecy is Abba saying, see, this is how the adversary is going to move. This is how the devil is going to move. Now, we got to move from the opponent back to using the devil now. Thanks, Ariel. I'm just messing around. But we can use all of it because he all of, he everything. He the serpent. He the devil. He the opponent. He's everything. But the other part of prophecy, one part is Albert letting us know, I'm going to do these things right here. So when you see these things being fulfilled, that's me fulfilling my word. And the other part of prophecy, these are the things that the adversary is going to do. When you see these things happening, remember I told you he was going to do that. So when it comes to humanity, Albert knew what was going to happen with humanity. It's not a surprise for him. So the scriptures talk about the lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. Why? They didn't already thought it out. They didn't talk about it. They didn't calculate it and say, this is the system that we're going to set up and establish for me to come in and do a work to save these people that want to be saved. That's what it is. Can everybody see that? Of course not. Do you realize some people love this world system? They love it, and they don't want to lose it. What you think we're supposed to learn? Remember Lot's wife. I'm bringing you out the system, but your heart is so fixated on what they're doing, you couldn't even not look back at it. Because that's where your love was. It's hard for us. We're physical. We're human. And we're connected to this planet. This earth, this land. We want to be part of it. Some people that just, you know how they do those, when you go to those certain concerts, and you know you have the people, they have the, they on the stage, and they turn around with their back towards the people, and then they fall back, and then the people catch them, and then next thing you know, they're doing like a wave of people that's passing this person. It's like, that's what people do to this world system. You know what? I love everything that's going on here, and I'm just going to be fully I'm overwhelmed by it, and they just fall into it. I would want us to do the opposite. We all have a desire to be a part of this world system, whether you want to accept that or not, whether you want to believe that or not, it's the truth. We all have that because this is where we come from. They are people. Part of our people. But Abba saying this. Choose me. Choose me. In spite of everything that you go through in this life experience that you have. Choose me. Just choose me. I know sometimes that faith is going to be weak. I know sometimes you're going to be tempted to turn around just like I showed you what your forefathers did. When they was down in Egypt and they were slaves in Egypt, they complained about being in bondage. I brought them out of it, and you know the first thing they say? I want to go back. The reason why is because they had a little bit of hardship dealing with me. See? It's not that they weren't eating, but it wasn't what they wanted. See? You feel me? I got something for you. It may not be what you want, but it's what you need. And once you accept that, all the commiserating, all the misery that you think you're feeling, you're not going to feel that anymore. Because you will come to the realization that what I have for you is better than what the world has to offer. But we don't see that. you don't see it. I'm going through it right now. Oh, I'm going through it. I don't know what the end result's going to be, but I'm trying to be patient, you know? Trying to be patient. But it's what we want. Sometimes what we want ain't what Abba got for us. And we fight against that. I am guilty of it. I am guilty as charged. I got angry with Abba because I want this. That's like a child. We don't, you know, it's like we are children in adult bodies. We still have tantrums. Watch some of this social media videos when people in these stores and whatever takes place, they start tearing. That's a child having a tantrum. Whatever went wrong, whatever they didn't get that they wanted to get, I'm going to have a tantrum and I'm going to do this. Now I've seen a whole bunch of videos and a whole bunch of different scenarios, and what I'm looking at is adults having tantrums. And sometimes the tantrum is not necessarily tearing something up. Sometimes they attack. You know how with some children, they get upset, they stomp their feet, go up in their room, sit up on their bed with their lips poked out, and they, or mama, the devil, mama. Well, sometimes we do that too. That's where I am right now. I can't get what I want, but that's okay. I'm stomping up the steps, and I'm folding my arms up, and I'm getting on my bed, and I'm sitting on my bed, and my face is frowned, and my lips poked out, and I'm not doing anything. Since I can't get what I want, this is what I'm going to do. That's where I am. Well, hold up, brother. You said that's where you are right now? Yeah, that's where I am right now. Well, how in the world are you teaching? Because I was said to teach. That's why. After I finish teaching, guess where I'm going to go back to? Commiserating again until I get my mind right. And I'm being frank with you. I'm being honest with you. Things in my life are just the way I don't want it to be. I was hoping my son would have been home by now. But he got to go. Everything is just prolonged. I was looking forward to him coming home because I was hoping that that would be at least something happy for me because he'd been away for so long, being held up. Feels like in my mind, there ain't nothing going right for me. So for those of you who love Brother Jeff, I understand what you go through. I understand how you can be angry at the Creator because things didn't plan out the way that you want it to be. Things ain't playing out for me either. And you hear me talk about my misery and commiserating. But how you let Abba go? I'm angry and I'm sad and I'm disappointed. But when Abba say speak, guess who got to speak? And you know the funny thing? I feel sad talking about my son right now. But you know the funny thing about it? I find joy in being able to talk to y'all about Abba. Like I said, that's the best part of my life. The best part. It's like, well, if that's the best part, how come you don't focus on it all the time? Because I'm a human being. My mind ain't going to stay focused on the Creator like that all the time, 24-7. Hold on. Aren't you supposed to keep him at the forefront of your mind? He is at the forefront of my mind. Who do you think I'll be fussing with? That's Abba knows my heart above all things. He is at the forefront of my mind. Like I'm just going to I'm fussing. And he talks back to me. He talks back to me by his word. That calms me down for a little bit. Then I start looking at something. Or I'm at the gym. And I see a couple come in the gym. That was me and my wife at one point. How come I couldn't still have that, Abba? But life is hard. And he told us that. He said so. I got some scriptures, too. Abba gave me some scriptures to share with y'all. You know? Let me just touch on a couple of things that he gave. He said, This is Genesis chapter 2:13-17. It says, Yahweh Elohim took the man, put him into the Garden of Eden to cultivate and keep it. Yahweh Elohim commanded the man, saying, you may freely eat of every tree of the garden, but you shall not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for in the day that you eat of it, you will surely die. Now, this is the actual first passage that he gave me. And the reason why he gave me this to start off with is because in this life, it was the intent and purpose of Abba for humanity to experience good and evil. Why? Well, let's take a look at something else. Let's go back to Genesis. This time we're going to go to Genesis chapter 3. Now listen to what the serpent said. He says, verse 4, and the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. Of course, we know that was a lie. But then what he said is this, verse 5, for Elohim doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as Elohim, knowing good and evil. Now, of course, we know that was the bait that woman needed for her to take the plunge, okay? But what we also learn is that it was true. So when we go down to Genesis chapter 3 and verse 22, it says, and Yahweh Elohim said, behold, the man is become as one of us to know good and evil. So we start off here because the thought that I wanted to impress upon everybody in life, you're going to experience some good and you're going to experience some evil. The problem is we do not want to experience the evil. We don't want to. We don't want to love somebody, have a relationship with somebody, and then that person be taken away from us. We don't want to do that. You know, and my wife, we talked about this. I hated talking about this. Anytime she bring it up, why you want to keep talking about God? I don't want to talk about that. But she always wanted to talk about it. I mean, she apparently has some foresight, insight, whatever. But I wanted to avoid it. It's like, I'm just like, in my mind, I'm thinking of, you know, that episode of Gilligan's Island. It's funny how you watch so much TV that your mind go to this and go to that. But anyway, there's this one episode they want him to dress up like a woman to trick somebody. And he just kept shaking his head, no. And then at the same time, he dressed up like a woman still shaking his head, but he's doing it anyway. You know, it's like, I'm shaking my head, no, I don't want to talk about that, I don't want that. But the reality is, as adults, adulting, it's a reality. Whether it be now, whether it would have been in the future, you know what would have happened? I would still feel the exact same way. Whether we in our 50s and it take place, if we in our 60s, 70s, or 80s, whenever it take place, I'm going to feel the exact same way. It don't make a difference. It ain't like, well, the older we get, well, I'm accepting it now. But just talking to my son about that. Me and my son, we have some good conversations now. He's a young man. He's not a kid. He's not a child. He's a young man, so we talk as men now. We were just talking about that. You know, we oftentimes, we think that we can handle something, and we talk about handling something. But it's easy to talk about handling this thing when the thing hasn't happened yet. You can't prepare your mind for something that didn't take place. You can't. So that takes us back to now something I mentioned a little earlier, the disappointment muscle. Now, I learned this in one of those apps or one of these plans I was listening to. So it's like, in order for us to be like the Most High, we have to be fully developed. Abba wants his people to be well-rounded. He doesn't want, and I'm thankful to some degree that we didn't really have a niche like that, you know. You got some people, they had this little niche. You know what our niche is? the well-roundedness of the word. So we don't just talk about Israel being black. We know they black. We can talk about the black plight. We can talk about all the same stuff everybody else talking about. But we know that's not it. We can talk about the abomination of desolation. I remember when I first came into the congregation. There was a brother that was apparently, that was his niche. Oh, you want to talk about this? Talk to this brother so-and-so. That's all he talked about is the abomination of desolation. Abomination. Well, guess what? We can talk about the abomination of desolation, but guess what else? We know that's not it. That ain't all of it. He wanted to talk about everything. Some people are fixated or talk about the mental health aspect of the word. Well, guess what? We talked about that too. But that ain't all Abba talked about. Abba talked about everything in that word. So guess what he got us doing? Talking about everything. Not just the one part, not just the other part. We got to talk about everything. So you know what? He gives a little bit to everybody. Y'all remember some time ago, it was mentioned when you get into the human body, I was teaching us some things about us from the human body. Put it on one of them will raise mine. Well, don't just talk about it, be about it. And he started to open up some things. So now we've been learning a little bit more about the brain, about the senses, and how it relates to the Creator, how he revealing about himself. Everything. He wants us to be well-rounded. So in order for us to be well-rounded, there's what's called a disappointment muscle. Oh, what? Where's the disappointment muscle? It's figurative. There's no disappointment muscle. It's the way that we think. In our minds, in other words, we have to be prepared on dealing with disappointment. Why? If that muscle is not prepared, guess what the old serpent has the attack on? Disappointment. Guess where that disappointment can lead you? To the seed of the serpent. See? When we're looking at, remember Lot's wife. Lot's wife's heart was fixated on the seed of the serpent. That's why she looked back. When we look at our forefathers, when they were brought out of Egypt, and they could say, we want to go back to the seed of the serpent. See, when Abba brings us out of that, he don't want us to be fixated and turn back to that. That's why Brother Shaul, in one of his letters, he said, how soon are you going to turn back to those weak and beggarly elements? That's how we do sometimes. I didn't have that thought. Man, if I would have just kept DJing, I could have been a world-renowned DJ. I could have been making thousands of dollars. I would have been a thousandaire. I done had those thoughts. Tried to do that. I was saying, that's why I got turntables. Y'all don't know about all this. That's why I got them turntables and stuff again. It's like in my, second, let me show you how it happened. See, nothing's happening. Rabbi's teaching. Of course, I would teach sometimes, things like that. Things going on in my life that I didn't want to happen. I'm happy. Even back then. Oh, my goodness. I tell you. But I'm not trying to get into all that right now. But anyway. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to give me some turns. I'm going to get back into DJ. That's what I'm going to do. You know, this was back in the early 2000s. I'm getting some time. I started getting records and everything, going to the record store every week. Then I started making little tapes. That. All the stuff was going on, right? I was in situations disrupted in my life. I call myself leaving the congregation. I just stayed away for a little bit. But it's funny how when you leave, it's not like you actually leave. You can't leave. You may not have seen me coming to services. But whenever somebody has something about that word to say, guess who had to put their 2 cents in? And I supposed to left the congregation. But anyway, point being, I would say, no, you ain't. So I came back. No sooner than I came back, quotes, I would say, and I mean, for those who were there, you know, no sooner than I get back, I get the commission to teach. In other words, this is what I said, no, son, you ain't going to get back into that. This is what you're going to do. As soon as I get back, teach. And I think it was one of the few days, maybe in a suit court or something like that. But I do remember it was at over Sister Aliora house, wherever they used to live at. And then shortly thereafter, that's when I was doing all of the teaching. So this was Abba's way of saying, let me make this brother stay put, because his mind's starting to wander. And then shortly thereafter that, that's how that happened. From another perspective that y'all may not have known about. But I got to get this man focused. And apparently, Rabbi gave a witness to that, to the manifestation. Apparently, he said something along the lines of, that brother know what he need to do, what he's supposed to do. I guess that was me kind of sort of running, if you want to look at it that way. But anyway, point being this, getting back. Sometimes in life, a lot of times even, we ain't going to get what we want. We're not. And it's frustrating. I am an example of that. You know, I shared with somebody recently, and I actually it'll be shared with everybody soon, but you know how when you look at a person, when somebody says, think you got it going bad, check out what's going on with this person or that person. Well, guess what? I'm that person. I am that person. Now, some of y'all probably looking at me and saying, what you mean you're that person? Is this, that, whatever, whatever, whatever. I know I'm that person. Y'all don't know everything. Y'all know what I share with you or what the Most High may reveal to you. You know? But it's like, Abba wants you to go through these things. And it's like, Abba, why I, here we go with the why again. Why I got to be the one? Then Abba brought something to my mind recently. And it had me thinking in another perspective, you know, and whether this be true, whether this be false. It's a thought. And something that Rabbi taught years ago, there was a movie out. I think the movie was called Prophecy, and I think it starred Christopher Walken. But there's a scene in the movie, and he's explaining to somebody, while we got this right underneath our nose, right over top of our lips, there's a little, like, right, there's a part of our nose, I forgot what you call it, but it's the part that divides the two nostrils. And when you go straight down that part, there's a little indentation right above your lips. And the explanation that was given, excuse me, is that whenever, before any soul was brought forth and put into a body, they were told something. And then their finger was put over there like, say, shh, this is a secret, right? So the thought Abba gave me, now I'm saying Abba, but this is a thought that came across my mind. Because what I said, and I will tell you why I had this thought, first of all, I'm going back and forth and saying, why this, why? And then it's like, I didn't sign up for this. But then I had to think and say, did I sign up for this? And I'm like, is this, did I agree to have to go through this during this lifetime? And now I'm coming to the realization, you mean to tell me I signed up, you said, go for this, and I signed the dotted line and say, I won't come down, and I'm going to go through this, and this is why I'm going through all this? Because you know what I think sometimes? Why couldn't I just be a regular congregation member? Why can't I just be the one that bring my family to Sabbath services every Sabbath and go back home and go about my business and still keep the commandments, you know, still eat what I'm supposed to eat, don't eat what I'm supposed to eat, make sure I'm doing everything when I go to my job. Why I got to have extra responsibilities? Why can't I just be a normal believer? You know how y'all just don't know me. I go back and forth for Abba. I was laughing about it because I had to laugh at myself and tell you, I complained about everything I did. I complained about so much to him. I complained so much to him. Y'all just don't. I know Abba. I'm like, chronically. I know Abba. I know he'd be tired of me, you know, complaining about everything. But I do these things I be thinking about. I just want to be a normal person. You know, I want to be normal. But I would say that ain't what he gave me to be. He got to deal with it, so I got to deal with it. So, anyway, for my young sister, Danielle, I'm praying for you, my sister. I know you love Brother Jeff, and I know this is a devastating loss for you. But Abba is with you, and it don't seem like it right now. I know because I felt the same way. Oh, I feel like, oh, Abba, you must be against me. And I said that. I had, like, in my mind, it's like loss after loss after loss after loss. I'm like, come on. I mean, Abba, do you hate me? I mean, what in the world did I do to deserve all of this? I mean, but at the same time, I'm complaining about that. My bill's still getting paid. I'm still eating every day. I still had clothes. I'm still able to get back and forth where I need to go. But all this other little stuff around me, that's not happening the way I want it to happen. But he's still showing you, I still got you, son. I ain't turning my back on you. See, realistically speaking, we ain't going to get everything we want. And that's what hurts. Because we want things that maybe Abba say, I'm not going to give that to you. And then we have to question, well, why couldn't I have this thing? And you know what people like to say? If one door closes, another door opens. Now, when we in the midst of that trial and that tribulation, we ain't trying to hear about no other door opening. We want this door to open back up. Why you close this one? I don't care about the other door. That's how mine says. See, and it's hard. Maybe what I got for you behind this door is even better than what you think was behind that other door. And that's difficult for us. It's difficult for us to believe that Abba wants our best when we feel like we keep being put at our worst. We don't want that. I don't want to cry. You know, I don't want to have to cry all the time. I want to cry every day. I don't want to be sad every day. Then what you going to do about it? In my mind, you got to give me what I want. Ain't going to happen. See, it ain't like us, like my granddaughter. Pop, pop. Can I do this? No, you're not doing that today. Please. sometimes I break down and I give her whatever she asks for, but sometimes I stick to my gun and say nope, because I don't feel like she want to stay out there and play on the playground. No, I'm tired. I've got to go home. I don't feel like it. But other than that, sometimes I give her what she wants. But when my point is, even mentioning that, Abba, he going to stand his ground. We can say, please, you know how that that character on, what's that? The Puss in Boots character on one of those children's cartoons. I can't remember the name of it, but it's like he got this thing that he does, and he got the little, the teary eyes. That ain't going to work on Abba. You know, everything that I mentioned earlier. All right, you want me to be by myself? Okay, I'm going to be by myself. So I ain't dealing with nobody. But I'm going to teach what you want me to teach, though. And if I need to counsel somebody about that word or talk to somebody about that word, I'm going to do everything I need to do. But after I'm done, I'm going right back to being by myself. And I ain't going to deal with nobody. That's my mind. But that's me in a negative, like I said earlier. If that's what you want me to be, as if, okay, look, I don't want you to be that way, so let me go ahead and give you what you want. That ain't going to work. It ain't working. It ain't working. I was like, okay, what's my next move? Well, my next move is just accepting the fact I got to move on. You know? I got to move on. I was still on this throne. That don't change. All power in the heavens and the earth still belongs to Yahushua HaMashiach. That ain't changed. But as human beings, we are subjected to dealing with the good and the evil. And it's the evil sometimes that gets us, and the devil knows that. So not only is he going to be one of the proponents who say, ooh, let me do this to him, and I bet you he curses his face. He's not only going to be the one that does that, he also going to be the one when you're in the midst of it, he's going to be saying, See? Told you this whole religious lifestyle ain't even worth it, man. Look at all those women out there. And I'll tell you what he's doing with me. Now, I already shared with y'all, I got on the dating apps and stuff, right? But I got on there just to go through. I ain't really talking to nobody on there, nothing like that. Just to go through a cruise, you know, what they say, what is it, swipe, right? Or just swipe, but it's like when you see people liking you, and then it's like, here come that devil. Man, look at all those women that they say they like you, man. Man, you can talk to quite a few of them, too, and they wouldn't even know. But I'm not trying to do that. So I stay by myself. You know, like I said, I'm by myself. And when you're by yourself and you're alone in your thoughts, Albert gets to bring out a whole bunch of stuff that's in you that you didn't realize was in you. So when you talk about meditation, my whole and my life right now is nothing but meditation, because that's all I do, I think. I'm by myself. What else am I going to do? I ain't got nothing else to do, but I can't even watch television like I used to. Well, you sure do talk about enough television show. Yeah, but I don't watch TV like that. I don't. I be in my mind too much. Learning this about me, learning that about me, and it ain't pretty. It is not pretty. So I've also come to the realization that part of the reason why I'm going through this, because Albert has to bring some other stuff out of me, unaware. You know? He had to pull back the layers of myself. You know, and I used this as an example in teaching before, and there's a movie out, a movie called Dreamcatcher by Stephen King, and I've mentioned this. It's about these four men. They have these gifts. And one of the men, his gifts was like to go inside his mind. And the way his mind was set up was like a library. So let's imagine a library, and let's say this bookshelf is 1975, and this bookshelf is 1986 or what have you. You know, so you're trying to find particular things. But what Abba has been doing with me, because I'm by myself, and you keep saying you're by yourself. I am. I'm by myself. I'm alone. I'm not complaining about it. You know, even though I do want a wife, Abba will be done. But it gave me time. It's given me time to get into me. And he's starting to show me all these things. And I mentioned to you before, now I just, and I hope I'm not rambling. Am I making sense to everybody? I hope so. But about that movie, Dreamcatcher, and the guy's ability to go to its mind and pull out different things like that. Okay, keep that in mind. One of the reasons why therapy or going to see a therapist or a psychologist is helpful is because they ask you questions. Now, they often depict it, you know, now in modern times, they don't depict it this way, but years ago when they depicted it, you go, you lay on the couch and he's sitting up there or she's sitting up there with a little notepad taking notes and asking you a bunch of questions. Well, the reason why they ask you the questions is because they're jogging your memory. If you're suffering from anxiety, depression, anger, whatever it is you're going through, they ask you the question because they're trying to get you to go inside your mind and pinpoint why you made the decision to be this persona. Because there's something that happened in your life. There's something that was traumatized. Now, when you think about traumatizing doesn't always have to be, you know, the loss of a loved one. Or it doesn't always have to be, you know, like when you think about PTSD, and they often equate that to something that a soldier went through when he was in battle. It doesn't always have to be that. It could be something as simple as being picked on as a child. Not say as simple as, but that's traumatizing. When you think about a person who gets bullied, that's traumatizing for that child. You think about a child who goes through the divorce of parents and what that does to them. That's traumatized. So it could be any of these types of things. So what he had me to do, I had to look back into myself and see why I'm this way. And what is it that I'm trying to figure out? I'm trying to find out why I'm complaining so much. Why can't I just be happy? Why am I this way? Why is it that if I don't get what I want, I'm going to act out? And I mentioned it before, and Brother Arial touched on, not touched on what I mentioned, but touched on the series dealing with Ecclesiastes. And a lot of stuff I've helped me to see about myself, even going through that. But I believe a part of the reason I was going through that, it wasn't because of what I was going through, it's because of what I got to go through. And I don't want to exclude myself like nobody else going through nothing. I know that every human being, I know that every member of Beth Yahweh Camp goes through something. It may not be the exact thing, but you have to go through something. You have to experience something. You're going to experience good. You're going to experience evil. You have to, because we all have to develop that disappointment muscle. In order to develop that disappointment muscle, that means we have to suffer disappointment. And if we suffer disappointment after disappointment, that muscle is going to become stronger if we stay with Abba. This is why, as Murray Arial taught last night, the devil worked so hard to get that separation. So when you're going through that, he's the one that may have even suggested, well, let me do this to them, let me do that to them. And then when this is going on, he's going to be the one going down there and trying to encourage you to turn away. That's why I would say, be encouraged. Don't let the devil encourage you to turn away from me. I know it's hard. Guess what? I'm crying with you. And you crying, hold up. How do you think I feel seeing a young brother whose mind was geared towards being one of my sons being taken away? And when we look at it from that perspective, the first thought that we're going to think of, well, you're the one who let it happen, though. No. Whoever did that chose to do that. Somebody made a choice. And I had to think about that when it pertained to my son. Well, you're the one who let it happen. Somebody pulled that trigger. Could I have stopped it? I could have stopped it. But what would you have learned if I did stop it? So when we look at it from that perspective, again, we don't understand what I was doing with us. We ask our things. And let me say this, too, you know, because I remember some time ago, my wife and I, we had a conversation about what was called dangerous prayers, you know. Now, we often talk about Abba making us to be like him or making us to be like the Messiah. Now, whether we ask him to do that or not, what we as Bible believers and Bible students have to understand, that's the intent and purpose in the first place. That's why he made Adam in the first place, in my image and after my likeness. It ain't like we got to pray and ask him to make us. That's why he created us that way. And if we're walking after the Messiah, guess what? That's the pathway we walk in. We don't have to ask, Father, make me in your image and in your life. We don't never have to ask that, because as soon as we set our foot on the pathway of Torah, that's the pathway we walk in anyway. Hopefully everybody understands that, whether you ask that or not. So sometimes in asking and coming to that reality and asking Abba to help us to overcome the unbelief, that's where we're headed. That's the goal for every believer. And sometimes along the way, we have to experience calamity. We have to suffer loss. We won't like it, but it's something that we have to go through. Because Abba wants us to be strengthened in that area. And even saying it now, when you're in the midst of it, you could care less about it. I know, because I'd have been there. Those who love the Most High, you think I cared about that? Right after my son died, got killed,
could have still been here had whoever pulled the trigger decided not to pull the trigger. I didn't see no goodness in that. But here's the other piece to it, too. This is the other tough pill to swallow. What decisions did my son make to be in that predicament? Because life is filled with consequences. We don't want to look at it that way. I know we don't, because I didn't want to look at it that way. What decisions were made to bring it to that point? Not pleasant. Not at all. But we're living in an existence that has some good and some evil. So now, guess what the message is? Of course, we know this message in particular, be encouraged. Don't allow anybody to turn you away from the Most High in spite of the difficulties that you're going through. But you know what else the message is? Even beyond that. Abba said that he, as a matter of fact, as my brother would say, let me read this in your hearing. Because like I said, I had some scriptures down, but I guess Abba just wanted to talk. Yahweh is near to those who have a broken heart and saves those who have a crushed spirit. It's a hard pill to swallow. But sometimes we got to suffer that loss because Abba is trying to draw closer to you. And you're not letting him draw close to you. And that was hard for me. I got to move some things around. Because I have a work. But in order for you to do this work, I got to make some things happen. So let me use this one example. And I'm going to shut up for y'all because I know I can be a little long-winded. Not as long-winded as some, but I'm just joking. My brother, I love my brother. I understand him. And what I mean by that, I'm talking about you, yes, about I understand how your mind works, because Abba helped me to see how you got so much because of your past, you know. You have a gift, natural gift, of course, with the total recall. But then you also have a gift, you know, being well-versed in his word because of your past experience in the different churches. So you have a lot on your mind. And you want to get it all out. And you don't know when the next opportunity you're going to have to get it out again. So, I get you. But anyway, back to the point. Sometimes in our life, Abba allows us to experience the heartbreak because he wants us to draw closer to him. And that's hard because in our mind, I'm just hurting. I want this loss to not be. And it's difficult, but the greater gift, and again, the best part of my life, despite all that I go through, is those times that I can sit and I can sup with Yahushua. And he talks to me, and he reveals his word to me, and he helps me to understand what he says, and it lifts my spirit up, and it brings me joy, and he wants that for everybody. But in order for us to get there, he got to make some moves in our life. And some of these moves he got to make may be calamity. We don't like to hear that, but it's the truth. I was going to use an example, some scripture. Yonah, or Jonah, right? Prophet, given a word to take to Nineveh. Jonah didn't want to take that word to Nineveh. So you know what he did with Jonah? Bible's ever said that he killed Jonah? No?
Well, he prepared a great fish to swallow him, so Jonah was as good as dead, if you understand the point being made. See, when we look at that, we just automatically go to the example that the Messiah gave. That's part of it, you know. There's something else in there, too. Something for Jonah. In other words, Jonah had to die, which is symbolized by being swallowed by that great fish because he was buried symbolically for 3 days and three nights. He died. What did Jonah go through when he was in the belly of that fish? What was in his mind? What changes were being made? What realities was he being brought to? So much so, when he came up out of that fish, guess what? He got to that place to deliver that word in a shorter amount of time than it would have took him normally. Sometimes when we have a work that Abba wants us to do for him, we got to die. Isn't that loss? Because see, the greatest loss that every human being has to suffer is not the loss of a spouse, not the loss of a child, not the loss of a parent, not the loss of a job, it's not the loss of health. You know what it is? It's the loss of your life. You. So the Messiah said it like this. If you seek to save your life, you're going to lose it. But if you lose your life for my sake, you won't save it. And here's the beauty of it all. Abba ain't just going to leave it up to us. He ain't going, because we ain't going to do it. But you ask me a question. You ask me to shape you and to mold you in my image and after my likeness. And that it's like no take backs. Here's what we don't realize. What it's going to take for us to get there. We don't know that. We think it's all going to be peaches and cream. Mm-mm. You know, Rabbi has said many times, and I've heard many brothers repeat this, he never promised you a rose garden. He never promised you a rose garden. Then somebody even added to that, said, even if he did promise you a rose garden, it got thorns in it. See? We just want everything to be all good. It's like he got a magic wand, and like we in Cinderella, and then he threw the bibbidi-bobbidi-boo, and bam, you're just like me in my image and after my likeness. No, it ain't going to happen that way. It's going to take for us to walk a specific pathway. The same pathway Moulay Arial mentioned last night. He learned obedience by the things that he suffered. We got to suffer in this life. I know you don't want to hear that because I didn't want to hear that. I don't want to suffer. I want to be happy. Where's my happily ever after? Man, that's for the fairy tales. That's for the comic books. That's for the fables. Our happily ever after don't come till Mashiach Yahushua comes. But in this life, hold up, brother, hold up, hold up, hold up. You mean to tell me that I can't have no happiness until the coming of the Messiah and that my whole life is going to be nothing but suffering? Not your whole life. Oh, I'm not saying that. He himself said, I came that you may have life, that you may have it more abundantly. So hold up, if he came so he could, we could have life more abundantly, what you talk about the suffering for? Because in order for us to get to the abundance even in this life, guess what we got to do? We got to suffer. You want good health? This is the part I missed out on. Yeah, I may have been taking all those vitamins and stuff, but I didn't change my diet properly. So I'm about to do some changes. So that means I got to suffer. I can't eat all the donuts and the pastries and the pies and the cakes that I want to eat.
it's not that I can't eat them at all, but I have to make some adjustments so that if I do eat it, then it won't affect my body in a negative way. But there's going to be some suffering. You may not like to go for a walk or to the gym or whatever, but if you want your health to be maximized, like I said, no pain, no gain, there's going to be an amount of suffering when it comes to them deadlifts and those bench presses, and those military presses, and those squats. Sometimes you got to go to some pain. But the result is going to be an abundance of life. So sometimes in our spiritual life, we're going to have the calamity. We're going to have the difficulty. We're going to have the suffering. But once we get the beauty part, that's when you get to, you know, being able to rejoice. See? Brother Paul said he became a fool. First of all, before he even said that, what time is it? I'm not going to check the time. Okay. Last thing I'm going to say. Now, we look at it. Brother Paul, he said he asked the Most High to remove this thing from him 3 different times. Now, we don't know how long that took. It ain't like he said, Father, remove this once, Father, remove this once, Father, remove this once, and that's 3 times in a row. He could. I'm not saying it is. I'm saying we don't know. It didn't specify. But it could have been 1 year I asked him, and he didn't remove it. 6 months later, I asked him. Maybe a year and a half later, I asked him. But then after that 3rd time, I asked him to remove this thing. Then the reality came that this was something to buffer me, and my grace is sufficient. And now I become a fool in glory. But there's a process. That's my point. There's a process. We all can become a fool in glory, but we just process. So now, he that endures to the end. See? He that endures to the end. Let's broaden our scope on that. Don't just look at it and say, well, he that endures to the end of this life that you live in. No, it may be the end of this trial that you're going through. See? You got through this calamity. Then you're going to have some joy. But guess what? We ain't finished growing. The loss of Brother Jeff, it's a devastating blow. No, and then, I mean, the shock of it all is when the text came through and there was a question of foul play. And then the text we received early, and there's the idea of confession. And it's like, what in the world is going on here? So all of this is a shock to all of us. But what happened to Brother Jeff, family? That is not going to be the last thing that happens. And I'm not saying this to wish anything. I pray Abba prevent any further loss. That's the end of that caliber. But realistically speaking, we know disappointment is coming. What we want is that Abba strengthen us in spite of the disappointment, that we are all able to endure our trial, our tribulation, that we not allow the devil to steal our joy. So be encouraged, family. Be encouraged. There's Shem, Yahushua, Mashiach. Hallelujah. Abba, we give praise, we give glory, we give honor. We give adoration, we give exaltation to you through your Son, our Savior, our Redeemer, and our soon coming King, Mashiach Yahushua. And we ask you, Abba, to help us, each and every one of us, individually and collectively, comfort us by your Spirit. This is a devastating loss, but you still sit on your throne.
And Yahushua still possesses all power in the heavens and the earth. During times like this, Abba, it is difficult for us to maintain that belief. So we ask you for strength, comfort, guidance. Help us, Abba, that we be all you desire us to be. Continue the shaping and the molding of our character, that we may emulate you and your Son in all that we do, in spite of the difficulties we face. We humbly and sincerely pray that your will be accomplished in each and every one of our lives. We ask that you bless us abundantly with your grace, your mercy, and your compassion, that you forgive each and every one of us for the sin that we commit against you, and that you cleanse each and every one of us by the blood of Yahushua of our iniquity. Help us, Abba. Where we are weak, strengthen us that we may stand firmly upon your word, upon the solid rock of Yahushua HaMashiach, our Savior, our Redeemer, our soon coming King. Fight for us, Abba, that we may go forth in the world and fight for you. Hallelujah.
I know they see you when they want you. I know they see you when they want to make you who they want you to be. I know that life is trying to get you. I know that life is calling out to you by your name. But don't listen, resist it, keep running. Don't you stop for nothing, just keep kicking. Remember where you came from, don't forget what you already know. What you got is amazing, hold it, don't you let it go. You hold the light, you hold the light. You hold the light and it's shining and making darker places brighter, you lighter. You hold the light, you got a lot. You bring a lot and it's evident. They can see it, they won't end it. But it's not for the taking, it's not for the changing. No, it's not for remixing, it's not for remaking, alright. So they lining up to take it, alright. I can't let them take my you, you know I ride for you, yeah. I won't let them take you. I'll be your direction, yeah, I'll be your protector. You know I ride, I'll fight for you. I'll fight for you. I'll fight for you. You know I'm fighting cause I refuse to lose ya. Fighting cause I refuse to lose ya. I'll fight, you know I'm ready. Situations will approach you, and opportunities to fade, shade and downgrade will provoke you. And those you trust will start to turn to. So never pay too much attention to the things they say they won't do. And you gotta be persistent, and believe me, you ain't seen much. It's just the beginning. More walking, slow to speaking, but be quick to listen. Be mindful, you be vigilant and pay attention. Because you hold the light, you hold the light. You hold the light and it's shining and making darker places brighter, you lighter. You hold the light, you got a lot. You bring a lot and it's evident. They can see it, they won't end it. But it's not for the taking, it's not for the changing. No, it's not for remixing, it's not for remaking, alright. So they lining up to take it, alright. I can't let them take my you, you know I ride for you, hey. I won't let them take you. I'll be your direction, yeah, I'll be your protector. You know I ride, I'll fight for you. I'll fight for you. I'll fight for you. You know I'm fighting cause I refuse to lose ya. Fighting cause I refuse to lose ya. I'll fight, you know I'm ready.
There's no need to worry about them let me downs. You can count them instinct the moment you let me round. I torched it, screamed, shouted, and forced it to move off that groove it made on the porch of your heart. I knew from the start it was gonna be war. The clowns we fighting for, the thought of you freed from danger. Hurt, fear, depression, and anger, confusion, rage, and pain galore. Got me out here with my tools up, fighting with what I could use up. Lyrics on tracks with music, yeah, the pain came and the rain fell down, but I maintained through the skirmish. Cause I love you, and you're worth it. Yeah, you could be anything to them, but to me, you're perfect. I fight for you, I'm right for you, I'm here on purpose.
And you know I fight for you, I You know I'd rather fight for you.